morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year to those who are watching on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook. We love you. We greet you in the name of Jesus in this new year, 2024. Man, we're here. We're looking forward to what God has for us to do in this year. There's much to do. If you're a Christian somewhere in another church and you come across this message, you need to understand that you have much to do this year. One of the theme for this year for Manifest Church is do not grow weary. God has called us as a people to persevere, that we're to persevere through the trials, through the things that we face in this life. Why? Because he told us, the Word of God says, Jesus said, take heart, for I overcame the world. See, in this world, we're going to have trouble. That's normal. Everybody on this planet, whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to experience trouble. You're going to experience suffering. You're going to experience loss. You're going to experience death. All of that is part of this life. But those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a future hope. We have a hope for the anchor of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again, defeating death. And because of that, we're able to have hope for the future. Whether we live or die, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be in a place where the Bible says there will be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. Death will be swallowed up in victory. That is something we can look forward to, even as we, you see, one of the scriptures I like that we're going to read a little bit, Jesus, well, this is in Hebrews, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There was something that kept Jesus, even in the midst of the sufferings that he endured, there was a joy that would come as a result of that suffering. He understood that his mission was to give his life as a ransom for you and me and for the world. And because of that, he knew that when he died on that cross, he was defeating sin once and for all. And he made a public spectacle of Satan and his demons on that cross. And not only that, the Bible says he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, defeating death. So that we have hope of resurrection. He justified us in that resurrection. So we can rejoice in that as Christians. We can know that. So I want you to know that we can have hope in the midst of the things that are uncertain in this world. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we know the one who does. And if we know him, then we have hope that he is with us in the midst of the fire. Amen. You're not alone. If you are born again of God's Spirit, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that he's given his people. And so just be encouraged today. I'm excited about this new year, some of the things that God is going to do in this ministry. And we're believing God, and I pray that you would keep us in prayer. Prayer is so important. It's the foundation of everything we do as believers, and especially as a church. We need prayer. Prayer is what moves the heart of God, moves us into his will. Amen. We get out of our own will, and we surrender in prayer and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And when we pray, see, a life that's lacking in prayer is a prideful life. When we don't pray, that means we're prideful. That means we think we know better than God. But see, Jesus, the author of life, prayed. And he taught his disciples how to pray. And who do we think we are not to pray? We need to come and say, Lord, I need to pray. I need to ask you for your guidance today. I need to ask you for where I'm supposed to be tomorrow, what I'm supposed to do in this situation. See, prayer can be at any moment. You don't have to wait till a nighttime or a day. You know, man, you could pray at every moment without ceasing. You could be driving in your car and praying and asking God to intervene and give you wisdom, and God will give it to you if you believe. So remember that in this year, begin to understand that don't grow weary in doing good. That is a theme for this year. Those of you who watch our messages, I want to encourage you as well, if you're away from here, that do not grow weary in well-doing. Because in the proper time, the Bible says you'll reap a harvest. Don't give up. Put your trust in the Lord, and he's going to see you through. He always does, and he always will. So this morning, I want us to go to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're going to take the Roman road. We're going to look at the book of Romans. We're going to take some time to study this book together. It's going to be some time because there's a lot of chapters here. Did you know that the book of Romans is the Apostle Paul's lengthiest and most thoroughly reasoned letter to the churches? It's the longest letter, and it is the most thorough reasoned letter. In other words, it is so thorough about our Christian faith and what we are to believe and how we're to live and how we're to conduct ourselves. He talks about our faith and how important faith is. Let me read to you the theme of the book of Romans. And it's found right here in verses 16 and 17. I'm going to wait for Daniel to put that up. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. This is the theme of Romans, the whole book. I want you to see this with me. And when you get there, say amen. All right, so it says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." What a powerful theme of this book. It is a message that is ringing throughout the pages of the book of Romans, that God has come to save everyone, and the power of salvation is in the gospel, and in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. How many of you know that's what men need, righteousness? Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that righteousness delivers from death. The problem is none are righteous, amen? Nobody's righteous. But there was one. Jesus was righteous. Jesus fulfilled everything. Jesus did everything the Father said. Remember when the Pharisees said, "Oh, you came to get rid of the law." He said, "No, I came to fulfill the law." Jesus completed the law. Jesus had the very heart of the law. Jesus was the writer of the law. Come on, man. Jesus was our perfect example, and he has the righteousness. And what happens is when you and I believe on that Son of God, when we put our trust in Jesus, Jesus gives us his righteousness. And it is that righteousness that will deliver us from death. Man, praise God for that. So this is the theme of Romans. This is why I'm excited. How many of you know it's important to understand that the power of God to save everyone who believes. It's not only for one people group. Think about it. In a time in our history where once again the ugly head of racial idolatry has risen, when you look around, you look at the news, you look at what's going on in our society, we see racial idolatry happening once again in our nation. It's rising its ugly head. People against people once again. Why? Because Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. You see, the gospel, in it, the message is that Jesus came to save everyone. Not just the black guy, not just the white guy, not just the Hispanic, not just the Asian, not just the Indian. Jesus came to save every person of every nation and every tribe, language, and tongue. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he saw them worshiping the Lamb from every tribe, tongue, and nation of people. See, it's important that we remind ourselves of this today and our neighbors. Jesus came to save all people from their sins. Every man, every person, every people group is a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus came to save. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm telling you, this message, we have the hope. We have the right message. The problem is, are we willing to share it with other people? Are we willing to tell our friend? Are we willing to tell our neighbor? Are we willing to live it out? And so when we do that, when we live out our faith and we share with other people, God uses that messenger. I want you to understand, any message that seeks to exalt another people group over another is not from Christ. Any message that says this people is better than this people is not of Christ. Any message that would say these people are inherently evil. Any message that says, oh, because of the color you are evil from the core. That is wrong. You know what the true message is? All humanity is evil at the core. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. all have sinned. No, not just the black guy, not just the white guy, not just the Hispanic, not just the Asian, not just the Indian, not just this person. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And this is why the message in the book of Romans is so important. You know that the Roman people, it was a mixture of a lot of people, just like we see today in America. A lot of people here from many cultures, many people groups in this country. And the gospel was growing in Rome. The message of Jesus was growing. Now, not only was the message growing, but there was a lot of opposition also in Rome. The emperors would kill people. One Caesar, he would put Christians them on stakes and light them up as fire, as candle for the city. He would put them in the Colosseum and let the lions and eat them in the midst of the Colosseum. This would happen. The persecution was great, but the gospel was greater, and it was still reaching people. And as a result, in the history of Rome, one of their Caesars, one of their emperors, began to adopt Christian views and say, hey, no longer are we to persecute Christians, and Christianity would continue to flourish in the Roman Empire. This happened. All right, Pastor, what's all this about? The point I'm making here is that this message is important for today. I want to pray as we begin to read Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Then we're going to go right into the meat of my message. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we're here together. Lord, that we're able to come together as a body of Christ, that we could commune together. I thank you for those who are watching, but just to be with the precious saints right here in this room. Lord, this is what you made the church for, community, that we're to come together, not forsaking our gathering. We're to come and join together in love. And Lord, that we're to come together and begin to encourage and edify one another. And we thank you for that fellowship, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those who right now are watching, maybe don't have a church. I pray, God, that right where they are, that you would place them in a place where they can grow and they can mature with other believers. God, I pray that they would go to a church where their pastor loves you and loves preaching the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that nothing is impossible with you. It doesn't. You always have people. You always have a remnant. We are. It's never hopeless. There's always a remnant. I remember the prophet Elijah. He thought he was the only one. But God, you reminded him quickly that there were others that did not bow their knee to Baal. And so, Lord, I pray today that you'll have your way. Holy Spirit, empower me, help me, make me competent to preach the word of God. Lord, help me to proclaim your word. I pray that I would inspire people to love you. It would inspire people to seek you, Lord. Let your word fall on good soil and produce 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's begin. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 1, and we'll start and finish in verse 7. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Did you hear that? Among all the nations. Including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is Paul's initial greeting in his letter to the Romans, to the saints in Rome. He greets them. And I want to focus on verse 1 today, really, because there's so much there. As I was studying, I was looking at it, and I just could not get out of verse 1. And I want to show you why, because it's important. We can, even in a greeting in his letter to the saints in Rome, Paul says something very profound in the very beginning. Look what he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I want you to know that Paul understood, and this is the first point I want to make, Paul understood that the life in Christ is a life of servitude to him. A life when we come to Christ, we are now in a life of servitude to Jesus. We serve him. Why? Because he's good. We no longer serve ourselves. We serve him. Our life is a life of servitude to Christ. See, Paul begins, he says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Can you say that about yourself? That I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And we should be able to say that of ourselves. Why? Because I can't help but serve him. No, you don't have to serve him like me. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. Man, you can just be a Christian that loves Jesus and tells people about Jesus. You can come to your church and help and serve there. You can serve someone the word of God. You can serve the elderly. You can do whatever in the name of Christ. You don't have to be me. You know what? There's only one mouth in a body, right? There are fingers. Every part is important. Every part of the body matters to the Lord. You might be the hand, someone might be the foot, someone might be the mouth, someone might be the eyes. But we all are part of one body. And you can't say, I don't need the hand. You can't say, I don't need the mouth. Paul tells us that, we're going to see later on. We're many members of one body. And we have to understand God. When we come into Jesus, we come into his kingdom, and we become his we become children of God because of Christ. Now we serve our Lord Jesus. The Bible here for the word for the Greek word servant here is the word doulos. And the word doulos means a slave, a bondman, a man of servile conditions. This is metaphorically, it means one who gives himself up to another's will, whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. In other words, those who come into Christ and say, I am a servant of the Lord, I serve the Lord, we come into his service, we give up our own will. Isn't that part of the gospel? Not my will. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? Not my will, your will be done. Isn't that what Jesus did on the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. Jesus understood he was a servant of his Father. He served his Father. Yes, he was a son, but he served his Father. Yes, he was co-equal with the Father. And yet he served you and me. In all of humanity, he served. He didn't have to do that. He was God in the flesh. And we're going to look at some of that today. It's a life of servitude to Christ. It's one who comes to know Jesus understands that my life is not my own. See, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we willingly become his servants. Why? When you come to understand the depth of your sin, when you realize where you were, the kind of person you were, what you were a part of, that today you're ashamed of, right? You can't help but say, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Whatever you want, I'm here. If you want me to be the guy that holds the door at the church, Lord, I'll be there. If you want me to be the guy that sweeps, if you want me to be the guy or the girl that's out there and just meeting with the people and talking to them and loving on them with the gospel and sharing the love of Christ with them, so be it, Lord. I'm your servant. Paul starts his greeting, I'm a servant of Christ. And God is calling us, his children, to serve Jesus, to serve our commander in chief. We're in an army. We're enlisted in an army. We're in the army of the Lord. And every one of us have a job. We have a responsibility. How many of you know in battle, if people aren't doing their job, every bad stuff can happen? If soldiers are not doing their job, if they're caught up in the affairs of other things and not concerning the mission, the enemy comes in and can wreak havoc. We need, as people, to understand that we are serving our Lord. We serve Him because Jesus paid the price for our sin. He redeemed us, and He did it with such a great offering. He gave Himself. You see, remember He said, hey, greater love has no man than this, and He laid down His life for His friends. Jesus calls us friend. He laid down His life for us. And He took it back up. I want to take you to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Hold your place there in Romans and go with me to Luke chapter 7. And I want you to see verses 36 through 50. I want you to see what happens when someone encounters Jesus and someone that has understand the depths of the sin that He's forgiven them of. I want you to see. Go with me to verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. And it reads like this. One of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that He was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind Him at His feet, weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair of her head and kiss His feet and anoint them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who or what sort of woman this is who is touching Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Man, I want you to know right now, all of us in this room know what this is like. All of us know the forgiveness that Jesus gave us. All of us know the depths of our sin. And Jesus forgave us. And that's why we serve Him. That's why we say, I'm a servant of Christ. We don't serve Him. He doesn't make us serve Him. He doesn't drag us to serve Him. We serve Him willingly. We willingly say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I don't have nothing, Lord, but you have everything, so here I am. Do what you want with me. It's a life of servitude to Christ. Being a follower of Jesus is a life of servitude to the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. You see, the Bible says in Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus, when he calls people, he says, hey, if you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. Deny self. You see, that's the problem. Most of us, our problem is our self, and we got to put it to death. We got to say no to self and yes to Christ. But you know what? When you're in him, you willingly do it. The Bible, John writes that the commands of the Lord are not burdensome. Why? Because we love him. And when we serve him, when we commit our life to serving the Lord, man, it's a joy to do it. I promise you, every time that I stand here in front of you and share the word of God, it's a joy. Every time that I'm able to share with somebody, whether I'm on the Xbox or whether I'm out there on my job, wherever I find myself, and I share Christ with them, I live Christ before them, it's a joy. It's a joy. And there is joy in serving him. When we commit ourselves to serving the Lord, we follow in his footsteps. Did you know that? When you and I commit ourselves to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we're following his example. Watch this. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. I want you to see this. And it says here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus, being God, became a servant. Remember, he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to lay down my life as a ransom. You know, the problem today in the church, everybody wants to be served, but nobody wants to serve. You know, I have friends that have large churches, and right now they're like begging people in the church to serve. You know, the old saying in the church is 20% of the people do all the work. That shouldn't be, because we're all called to serve. And you know something? If you're part of that 20% right now, praise the Lord. Don't grow weary. Because you know what he said? If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. When we serve one another, we're acting like Jesus. Because he, being God, served us. You know how crazy it was? Jesus not only just served by bringing good news and healing and all that, he even got to the point where he washed his disciples' nasty, dirty feet. The King of Kings, the Messiah, took the towel and the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. And the Bible says he showed them the full extent of his love. My goodness, that Jesus would come and wash my feet. Peter said, hey, well, Lord, he said, well, if you don't let me, because Peter, you know, Peter's like us, you know, hey, no, Lord, you get this. And you know how some Christians are, that we're going to put the pastor in this little fight, and we're going to do it, and he's going to be this wonderful figure. And Jesus said, if you don't let me do this, you'll have no part with me. And Peter said, well, Lord, just wash all of me. Exaggerated, right? And Jesus said, hey, my word has washed you already. I just want to wash your feet. And this is what God is saying to us through the Apostle Paul's greeting to the church. He's just greeting them. You know, he's saying, hey, hello, how you do? I'm a servant of Christ. We can learn from him. We must have that attitude that Jesus, that the apostles had. We serve the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, we serve one another. Amen? Secondly, I want us to see it's a life being in Christ. Paul says, not only is a life of servitude to Christ, but it's a life that is called to service of Christ, to the service of Christ. In other words, I serve him, but I'm called to a specific service in Christ. Did you know that as a Christian, God has called you and given you a calling specifically for you to fulfill? He wants you to do it. He's not, Pastor Danny's not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to do what God called you to do. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I don't know. Get in the presence of God. Pray. Find out what God has called you. Say, Lord, what are you burning in my heart to do? And say, Lord, here I am. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to do whatever you tell me to do. Paul was divinely selected and appointed by God to be an apostle of Christ. Paul is saying, hey, look, I have been called to this. I'm a servant of Christ, and I've been called by God. Each one of us have been called. We may not have been called to be an apostle. You may not be called to be a pastor, a prophet, a teacher. But you were called to be his son and daughter. You were called to be saints. You were called to be set apart. You are called to make disciples. There's a lot that we could be doing and understanding we're called. In Christ, we're called. We are called in Christ. Jesus has called us. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you have been called to belong to Jesus. Did you look at this in verse 6 of Romans chapter 1? Go back over there. Look what it says here. You might be like I was. I was like, somebody told my wife, some prophetic sister, some sister that had the eyes to see beyond what we see, God had given her the insight, that my wife would marry a pastor. That made no sense at the time because I was definitely not pastor material in the natural. But God calls us and he prepares us. You see, right now, he may be calling you, but you're not ready. He might be calling you, and he's preparing you for the calling. He's doing a work in you. So all of us who've been in ministry or been in the Lord for a while, we know there's a time of preparation. There's a time where God does a work in each and every one of our lives to get us where he wants us to be and to put us in the calling that he's placed upon our life. And we have to trust them through that process. So I was that way. Maybe you're thinking, oh, what can I do for God? I don't even know how to talk. Yeah, me too. I stutter. Me too. I didn't go to college. Me three. I don't have a degree. Here we go. Do you have a willing heart? Do you believe God? Do you believe what's impossible with man is possible with God? And that's all you need. That's all you need to have a willing heart and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me as you please. And when you do that, oh, get ready. Get ready. If it's real, if you meant that with your heart and you meant that by faith, the Lord's going to take you where you need to go. And you're going to just take those steps. You're not going to know you're not going to know all the details. It's not for you to know. It's for him to know. For us to know is, Lord, I've been called and I'm just walking and you're going to prepare. Man, think about, this is why reading the Bible is so important. Look at the men of God over the years, the men and women of God in the Bible who didn't know all the details, but God said, do this. And they didn't know what to expect, and yet they just started walking. And they made some mistakes along the way, but then God showed them, hey, this is the way. And then they moved in the right direction. They repented. They did what was right. And that's the same way God hadn't changed. We change. I want to read this, and we'll move on to my last point. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 9. 1 Peter, you can write this down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his one marvelous light. Amen. God has called us out of darkness. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. We belong to him. We're his possession. Do you know that you are God? You are Jesus' prized possession? That he loves you? The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. In Christ Jesus, there's nothing that can separate us from his love. And you have to understand, it's a life that is called to the service of Christ. And I don't know what that calling is for you. Maybe it is that you're going to be a pastor. Maybe it is that you're going to be a teacher, a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist. It doesn't matter. It might be something totally different. The point is that God calls. And when he calls, all you have to have is a willing heart and humble spirit and say, Lord, do what you want with me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. He's faithful to his promise. That's all I can tell you. I'm not supposed to be here. If it's up to human standards, believe me, there's better, there's more wiser, there's more eloquent people out there that can speak better, that are more educated, that know the Bible better than I do. But that's not the qualification. And praise God if they have that, because God has allowed them to have that. But the qualification is not that. The qualification is what God qualifies. God is the one who qualifies you and me. He's the one that calls us into his service. The question is, will we submit ourselves to a life called to his service? The last point I want to make, we live a life that is set apart for the gospel of God. Paul says he's a servant, so we live a life of servitude to Christ. We live a life called to his service. And we live a life set apart for the gospel of God. Oh boy, this one's going to be tough. Some of us could say, well, I want to be a servant. I'll be a servant of Christ. I want to know my calling. The next one is harder because now I need to be set apart for the gospel of God. Setting apart is much different than just, those other two are important because it starts there. But then there's a separation that has to take place in our life. Paul was no longer to be the same man he was before coming to know Jesus Christ. He was now a new man. You and I, when we come to Christ, we're not to be the same person we were. We're to be new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this is what it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, new has come. What I was, I am no longer. I am a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ. Remember how many times did Jesus change the disciples' names? You're now called Peter. He changed his name. Saul was later, Paul, who wrote this letter, his name was Saul. Jesus called him Paul. Changed his name. And do you know the Bible says we have a name in heaven that no one knows but God? God has given us a name. When we come to know Christ's redemption, we are separated to him. You are no longer to be the old person. That doesn't mean you're sinless. That's not what I'm talking about. You've got to be able to say, that person that I was before Jesus, man, look what it. grace is done. I'm no longer that. I thank him for that. I'm over here now with him. I'm moving slowly. Yes, there are things that God is still working in me. I'm surrendering my attitude, maybe my anger, all those things. I am still letting God work in me, but I'm not who I was because I'm a new creation. Old passes away. Behold, new has come. We are separate ourselves. I want to look at this last scripture. I got a couple scriptures here, but I want us to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 18. Here we go. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Look at that. Today, if you have been influenced by sin and the world, we need to repent. If the world is influencing you, if you are in a situation, this is Paul saying, it's not, listen, I want you to understand, we're to be in the world, but we're not of the world. We can be in this world, but we are not of this world. What am I saying? That the people of God ought to be different. And there ought to be something that separates us from the sinner, from the unbelieving person. What should separate us? That we're living a life devoted to Christ. That we're not living in the sin we used to be in. If you were a liar, I'm not lying anymore. If you were a thief, I'm not stealing anymore. If you were an adulterer, I'm not committing adultery anymore. If you were an idolater, I'm not worshiping idols anymore. If you were sexually immoral, I'm not doing that anymore. I am preserving myself to be married to one, and marriage is between one man and one woman, period. Anything out there in this world says that this marriage is not marriage. There's only one marriage, and it's ordained by God, and that's to be between a man and a woman for life. That is marriage. Everything else is perversion. Everything else is a perversion to what the truth is. It's man saying, I don't care what God says. But the truth is that God wants us to separate ourselves from that and to be holy unto him. Oh, man. So now when I'm among those who are lost and those who are sinners, I'm not doing the same things. I don't have agreement with them in that same stuff anymore. Man, I remember when I first got saved, my friends, they were like, hey, bro, let's go to the nightclub. And I was like, I'm good, man. I don't want to do that no more. I'm good. All my friends who I had good friendships with, we hung out all the time. Well, because I was changed. I was no longer the same man. Old has passed and new things have come. I wanted to be in the church. I wanted to seek after God. I wanted to share with them about Jesus. And they didn't want to hear that. And they wanted to go do all the sin I was doing. And eventually, you know what happened? There was a separation. And the separation is important. Because in that separation, you grow in your faith. Because see, God wants to do this. God wants to take you out of this darkness. He puts you in light. He works in your life and then puts you back in the darkness to be light there. Isn't that awesome? God takes you out of the darkness, saves you, fills you with his spirit. You begin to grow in his word. And then he takes you back and puts you there to shine in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Because guess what? If it was just for for us to be saved and that's it. He'd kill us and take us home. But no, there's a gospel to be preached. And until this message is heard everywhere, the end will not come. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. We still have to preach this gospel. There's still people that need to know about the goodness of God. They need to know the grace of God. They need to know that God wants to save them. That God wants to reconcile them back to himself. But it comes one way, and that's through his son. The problem is today, will you hear that? You know, do you want to live as a believer? Do you say, Lord, I want to live a life separated, set apart for you? Just as the Apostle Paul said, I'm set apart for God, for the gospel of God. You got to set yourself apart. There might be some situations that you need to say, I'm done with. Why? Because they're influencing you in the wrong direction. There may be relationships you can no longer have for now, because you're not ready to step into that and share. You know, when you're a babe, you're not ready to have those encounters with people that have their mind and to try to influence you to do wrong. Once you're mature in the faith, you're able to discern between good and evil better because you've put your mind in the Word of God more. You've done what you ought to be doing in prayer and getting in the Word of God, and you're able to see, hey, this is wrong, this is right, according to God's Word. And that's the way it is. But by no means, don't think it's saying that, hey, you shouldn't be around a lost person. Absolutely not. I mean, if a lost person invites you to come and eat with them at their house, go eat with them and share with them. Talk to them. Jesus ate with sinners. Then they accused him of being a sinner because he was eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. Jesus went there. It's not about that. It's talking about setting yourself apart, that you're not going to enter, be influenced and live the life of communion with the world and its ways. That when you walk into a place, they ought to know, oh, hey, I got to try to watch my mouth. I got to try to be, because Larry's here, you know. Can they say that about you? Can they say that about me? I gotta watch myself because, hey, you know, this Christian, you know, he doesn't do these things, so I gotta kind of chill out a little bit, temper myself. Sometimes they do it subconsciously because they know, hey, he's not gonna go into that with me. And some people just don't care. They're just who they are. And that's fine too. And share with them because they need the Lord. They need to know Christ. I want to leave you with this last scriptures of scripture we all should know, memorize, commit to your memory. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I think I said that backwards. My bad. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romanos 12, capítulo 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? When you and I, as Christians, say, I want to be set apart to the Lord, it starts by renewing your mind. Oh, I didn't know that, Lord. Now I know. Now I know that that didn't please you. So guess what you're going to do? You're going to change your conduct. In other words, if I'm your friend and I tell you, hey, when you do that, it bothers me, guess what you're going to do? If you're my friend, you're going to, hey, you know, I'm not going to do that because it's going to bother him. Because I love him. I love her. I don't want to hurt them. They're not telling me to sin or nothing. I just, you know what? That bothers them when I say this to them. Why don't I treat them with some respect, right? Well, in the same way, when you and I get in the Word of God, we get to know our Father. We get to know our Savior. And then we realize, oh, Lord, that doesn't please you. I understand. Help me, Lord, not to do that. Give me the strength. I'll leave you with this. When I first became a Christian, I used to speak a lot of filthy language. I used to cuss a lot, say a lot of cuss words. Every other word I cuss, like fillers. And I knew, according to God's word, he said, don't let any filthy language come out of your mouth. And I was like, Lord, I need your help. I was newly Christian, and I'm like, and I say a word, and I try to catch myself, and it was so hard. But eventually, I kept surrendering. I kept saying, God, help me, and God, help me. And most of you have been around me. Well, those of you live here, those of you watching, you don't know because you don't live with me. But most of you know, I don't cuss every other word. I don't do that. I live differently. I'm not perfect, but I don't cuss every other word. I don't do what I used to do. Why? Because Jesus changed me, and I want to be set apart for him. In the same way, you want to be set apart for him. This is what God's calling his people to, a life that is set apart to the gospel of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you, God, that you, as we take this road, this Roman road, as we look at this epistle that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write, I pray that it would minister to each one of us. I pray that, God, we would grow as a body. And as we grow, each one of us, that we will also grow numerically, that we would be about our Father's business, that when we set ourselves apart, we'll be about reaching people. We'll be about loving and serving others around us. God, I come to you and I ask you, Lord, help me to be more of a servant to your people, to be more of a servant to those around me, Lord God, because that's your way. And I pray for those watching, I pray for those here, that they'll say, have that same attitude and say, Lord, I want to be more like you. Not only that, I pray for that person that's heard the word. They know they need to be set apart. They need to cut some things out in their life that don't glorify you, that they're being influenced in the wrong direction. They're not able to withstand it right now, and they just need to humble themselves, repent, and say, Lord, help me now overcome this issue, this sin in my life. Let me get rid of it, Lord, and help me to walk with you. Give me grace, Lord, in my time of need. I want you to know, friend, that if you pray that, if you say, Lord, give me grace, he'll give it to you. If you ask him to help you, he'll help you. He's a good God. You have to walk by faith. You have to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Have your way with me. And he wants to do that, man. Jesus is calling you. Don't you hear him? Don't harden your heart. Maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I just know that I haven't come to know Jesus, but I hear him calling me. I sense in my spirit, I sense inside that Jesus is calling me. You know, friend, Jesus is calling you to repent and believe on him. The Bible says if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Because it's with our mouth we confess, and our hearts we believe. And so I pray for you, if that's you here, maybe you're watching, listening later, if that's you, that today would be just stop what you're doing and bow your knee before God. There is no formula, there is nothing, just talk to him and he'll hear you. The Bible says that God will not refuse a broken and contrite spirit. He is near them who are broken and contrite. God wants to save you. He wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to put a robe on you. He wants to put a ring on your finger. And he wants to rejoice. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. If that's you today, all of heaven is rejoicing. And we're rejoicing with you. Please let us know. Send us an email. Do whatever. Send something. Leave a comment. We want to rejoice with you. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And God's people said, amen, amen.